And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, we are spanning south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, I got stuff here. I got stacks of stuff. Number one of the triple dipper, Afghanistan, 1 year later. Lots to talk about there. I mean, where do you begin? I mean, can you find a more epic combination of failed military and, you know, diplomatic foreign policy in one place at one time? I think the answer to that is no. I haven't seen anything in my lifetime that I can recall being that bad. I mean, there were times when things didn't go the way we wanted it to go. I mean, certainly there were the Carter era years. There was the attempt to rescue the Iranian hostages, but that didn't even qualify in the same vein because that was a well-calculated plan that you couldn't see certain things coming, and it went south when catastrophe that was unplanned hit. The thing about Afghanistan is it didn't feel coordinated. It didn't feel like there was an actual plan. It felt like it was just kind of like, let's go, boys. And that's, I know for a fact because there's enough people in leadership positions in the upper echelons of the military to where they didn't just not have a plan. But they certainly didn't have this well thought out. I don't think the risk assessments had been signed off on, to be honest with you, if you know what I'm saying. I really don't believe this was, and I do believe, though, too, there were probably civilians in the mix who had no clue about military operations who made this worse. Well, we can't use Bagram Airfield because that might be seen as too militaristic. I don't know. I'm making that up, but who knows? Well, we have to use Abbey Gate. No, we can't. No, we can't put our troops in, and we can't put armored vehicles out front because that would be seen as being antagonistic. Oh, really? We have to use the Taliban. Taliban is going to help us. No, they're really not. How'd that work out? 1 year ago today, a bomb went off at the Abbey Gate. 1 year ago today, 13 service members, but keep this in mind, it was not just 13 service members, which was the worst part for us as a nation. It was 13 service members and over 170 Afghans. This was a catastrophic event. This was not like one IED that struck a Humvee, which is also, by the way, awful. This was a catastrophic mass casualty event. We had literally over 180 some odd people killed or maimed in that particular bombing. Story on Fox News. In this particular case, it's Fox News, dated 2 days ago. Republicans say the Afghanistan withdrawal is haunting Americans and vow to lead the charge in honoring sacrifice. So, yeah, it says GOP veterans in Congress who served in Afghanistan, of which there are several, you can imagine. I mean, there was a period of time there where you couldn't find a veteran in Congress, John McCain and maybe a few others. But, you know, when you have a 20-year war, you can imagine that there's going to be more. But GOP veterans in Congress who served in Afghanistan said President Biden's botched withdrawal is haunting Americans while vowing that Republicans will lead the charge in ensuring Americans know that freedom, safety, and security of their homeland came with sacrifice. I'm going to be honest with you. I am not looking for platitudes on this. This better not be one of those Mitch McConnell moments where we will take the House and things will get better. No. That's no, sir. Do something. Get busy. Actually, if you say you're going to investigate, we'll bring accountability. Will you really? Ronald McDaniel, the chairwoman of the RNC, the Republican National Committee, when Joe Biden became president, he took an oath to protect the safety of the American people. 1 year after breaking his promise, Biden doesn't have the decency to own up to his failures and take responsibility for his disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan that resulted in the death of American service members and hundreds of Americans left behind enemy lines. Michael Waltz, who's a former Green Beret, served in Afghanistan. He says he's in Congress. He says you can have the strongest, most forceful, most well-equipped military in the world, but if you have a weak commander-in-chief that our enemies don't respect and fear, it's all for naught. Great points. And then another guy, Gonzalez, and I'm trying to think. Gonzalez is Tony Gonzalez, Congressman Tony Gonzalez is a retired Navy Master Chief Petty Officer. Gonzalez told Fox News that Biden's monumental failure in Afghanistan is a very personal issue to anyone who served in the U.S. military. And yes, that is true. Yes, it is. Well, you know, we're a year later. A year later, the Taliban took immediate control of the country. I mean, literally, it didn't take them a week. They had Kabul and 12 other major cities within a short amount of time from the withdrawal taking place. And they got it done just in time for the 9/11 attacks. The anniversary of them, I mean. And like I said, 13 service members died in the process. Well, there's a story on a website that I go to occasionally called 1945.com. And Boomer, if you would, get that audio clip of Senator Cotton ready. We're going to use that in just a minute. 1945.com, Dateline, August 24th, so 2 days ago. After the fall, the impact of the chaotic evacuation from Afghanistan on America's veterans. And it reminds us of some of the things we're seeing. Keep these memories, all right? No, it's important we don't forget. Things like images of desperate people falling from C-17s and women handing their babies to U.S. Marines over the barbed wire. Those were all on the front pages. Those were covering up our news headlines for a period of time. And then they all kind of went quiet again, which is natural. I understand. You don't sit around and dwell on it daily, but you also can't just put it aside to the point that you forget that it ever happened. And he says in this article, Amy Mitchell wrote the article, says, not everyone has moved on. America's veterans have kept the nation's commitment to leave no man behind. Many of them, night and day, they continue to answer the calls from their former interpreters and friends and those they mentored. An eternal belief in America's sacred honor, integrity, and unwavering support for our allies and partners is what guides them. And I agree with that. I mean, I've been involved with a group that's been trying to help rescue people. I was helping write letters on behalf of my former interpreter's family to help get them out. You know, it's and so I can if I had that limited interaction, I can tell you right now there were many who had a lot more. And he goes on to say, of those who were participating in this type of activity, says many have lost or quit their jobs to work these evacuation efforts. Others have emptied their military retirement accounts or taken on credit card debt to help Afghan families stay alive. Marriages and relationships have dissolved. Some have simply retreated into themselves, though, disengaging from life and those around them. That there is a sort of PTSD that goes on with people believing that what just happened a year ago in some way undermined the value of the time they spent in uniform serving alongside other men and women, many of whom lost their lives in the process. According to statistics, this article says, according to statistics provided to Congress, calls to the Department of Veterans Affairs Veterans Crisis Line spiked 81% since last August. So in the last year, 81% increase in veterans crisis phone calls. It's also perhaps not a coincidence, the author points out, that over the past year, as service members and veterans questioned the last two decades, that there has been a steep decline in the military's ability to recruit. Totally agree. I mean, this sucked the life out of some of the people who saw this, you know, saw military service, which, by the way, military service is extremely honorable. Do not think for a second, I'll just say this right now, those of you men and women who are still green suiters right now, there is nothing about your service that has been diminished. It may feel that way, but it's not. And those of you who served in Afghanistan and maybe you're civilians now, you look back on your time, you know what your time on the ground was like. Or for that matter, your time in the air overhead, you know what it was like. No one can take that away. No amount of bungling of a commander-in-chief who doesn't know how to lead can take that away. But you may feel that way, but it's not true. Your service was still honorable. I said it multiple times, and I'll say it again today, probably multiple times, but the war was not lost by the men and women in the boots. It was the peace that was lost by the men and women in suits. That's what happened. Remember, you got that audio clip? All right, Senator Tom Cotton was on an interview, I think, with Brian Kilmeade, and talking about this. So let me just play that for you real quick. Senator Tom Cotton on Afghanistan's withdrawal. Go ahead.
No, Brian, it's not possible to bury the fiasco in Afghanistan because it has effects that are resonating around the world today. You know, China's major state-owned propaganda outlet referred to an Afghan effect about a year ago. Part of what you see in Ukraine is the Afghan effect. Vladimir Putin took Joe Biden's measure last August, and he started building up troops on Ukraine's border just a month later. Xi Jinping took the measure of Joe Biden. The Afghan effect there, as you see with the bellicose rhetoric and actions regarding Taiwan. So even though Joe Biden and his administration never wants to discuss the Afghan fiasco, it kind of kind of underlies a lot of the chaos you see around the world. It wasn't just a tragedy for the troopers that we lost and their families and those Americans that we left behind. It was a strategic blunder of the First Order, and unfortunately, it's going to be living with us for a long time, at least as long as Joe Biden is president.
Yeah, it doesn't just stop on that day. Biden doesn't he's not allowed the luxury in the eyes of many. He's not allowed the luxury of going, well, we pulled out. It was important. No, sir. You diminished the credibility of the United States on the world stage. Story on National Review dated 3 days ago. 1 year later, don't forget the sacrifices of Afghanistan. That's the title. This particular author, Nick DiGregorio, wrote that when he was a Marine Corps second lieutenant back in 2007, he could recall one of his battle-hardened infantry instructors reciting a quote that he would hear often over the next 9 years and four tours of duty. The quote was, America's not at war, the Marine Corps is at war. America's at the mall. And that kind of bothered him at first, but then he went on to say, I realize, though, that our nation's ability to defend itself and our values with a relatively small, all-volunteer military force was actually exceptional. Americans go into the mall in time of war without fear of being attacked by our enemies or forced, going to the mall without fear of being attacked by our enemies or forced into conscription by our government was the mark of a peak-functioning society, not a broken one. So as the Afghan conflict wound down, I allowed myself not to think about it much. I went about my life and focused on other things. But then he says, he was violently aroused from his deep slumber when the blunderous withdrawal from Afghanistan got underway. He said those of us who had served in Afghanistan were appalled by the glaring flaws. Why were we not using the fortified and defensible Bagram Air Base? Why are we trusting the Taliban to provide external security? Why did the Biden administration continue with this plan after the State Department, the DOD, and every intel agency advised against it? Human lives were at stake. And then he says, and then the inevitable happened. The 13 were killed. So I tell you what, Boomer, if you would, tell my caller, I'm going to have to take him right after the break, if you don't mind. I can't get it before the break, but don't go to the break yet, but I'm just going to do this. Here's the deal. Before I go to the break, remembrance is the key, he says, and I agree, to learning from our mistakes. He says, so let us now remember the young American volunteers who gave their lives for a just operation that was unjustly managed. And their names are Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, age 31, Staff Sergeant Ryan Naus, age 23, Sergeant Johanny Rosario Picardo, age 25, Sergeant Nicole Gee, age 23, Corporal Dagan Page, age 23, Corporal Hunter Lopez, age 22, Corporal Umberto Sanchez, age 22, Hospital Corpsman 3rd Class, Maxton Soviak, age 22. Lance Corporal David Espinoza, age 20. Lance Corporal Riley McCollum, age 20. Lance Corporal Dylan Marola, age 20. Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui, age 20. Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, age 20. Take us to a break. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. So, hey, I got a caller who held on. Is that? Oh, Sparky held on, man. Thanks so much. Sparky, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm good, Phil. Happy Friday to you and Boomer.
Absolutely, man. You too.
I wouldn't categorize myself as a proper good and good Christian. I know so many and I admire them deeply, but I do have a feeling of the ability to forgive in my heart people who have wronged me. There's a few things from people in our government right now I will not ever forgive. One, beginning back to the 90s with the Clintons, when they removed the ability of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines on military bases to carry weapons to protect themselves. Mm. This resulted in a lot of good men and women dying at Fort Hood, Texas.
Yep.
Not that many years ago. I will never forgive Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and their shady crew for the crimes they committed in and about Benghazi that resulted in the loss of life of Chris Stevens and so many of those good Navy SEALs and good soldiers. Oh my gosh, I'll never in my heart they'll forgive that. And then whoever's pulling the strings behind this drooling Alzheimer's patient, it's not Joe Biden. He's not a decision maker. I'll never believe in my heart that he's really running this horrible, horrific train wreck. Somebody's pulling the strings behind him. But what they did to those good Afghan people and what they did to all our troops and the families of those who died, it's unforgivable. It's unconscionable. The evil and the complete rottenness of the people who perpetrated that debacle. Zero forgiveness for me until the day I die.
I get it, and it's very possible. I will say this: it's very possible to forgive and yet not forget. So I throw that out there as a thought. There, Sparks, but the reality is. It just never needs to be forgotten. In fact, I tell you what, if we forget about this situation, then we allow it to be repeated in the future. I mean, this has to be remembered for the sole reason if we don't want it to happen again, if nothing else.
Well, that's an unbelievable, powerful point. Okay. Look at how a few years it's been since the attack at the Pentagon and New York City on 9/11 back in 2001. And how many people in our society got the horror and the fear and then the incredible wave of patriotism after those attacks happened, and now it's like it never happened. Some of the idiots that they've elected to the Congress, who in their own words, practically celebrate that day, and view good Americans as somehow horrible people for feeling anger and mistrust toward radical Islamists, right? As though that's sort of a xenophobic, racist sentiment. We do have a short memory. I'm sorry, as Americans, way too short memory. And I think it's what politicians in Washington count on. They count on voters being stupid, and they hope they forget. In some cases, a matter of weeks and months since their last idiocy and their last crime.
Well, you are not wrong, brother. And I've got a sign, by the way. I've got a sign on my wall right behind me that I had in my team room in Baghdad, and it says, "When friends kill enemies." I don't think there's anything that says you can't do both. all right, man. Hey, appreciate you, Sparky. Thanks for holding on during the break, brother. Appreciate that. And as always, thanks. Great commentary.
Yeah, happy weekend.
Bye. Yeah, you too, bud. We got the best audience, Boomer. We just do. Hey, listen, as I get towards the top of the hour, let me just tell you, you're going to want to stay tuned, because live in studio with us is a lady who I just stepped out of the studio a moment ago to shake hands with for the first time. Her name is Angel Brown, and she's got a story up about her and her ministry today at 1819news.com. You can see it. Go check it out if you want to before the interview, but in any event, you want to stay tuned for that. She'll be in studio with us, so if you want to actually watch the live stream, you can go to rightsideradio.org. But her mission, her passion, is to make sure that troops and veterans know they've not been forgotten, and it all started with sending gift boxes and literally boxes of socks, which I can tell you as a ground pounder, getting fresh socks means a lot. But doing that, but then it morphed. After the 13 were killed a year ago, she and her husband have had an opportunity to be in touch with each of the 13 families, and they have put together gift boxes. And their ministry is called Good News Gift Boxes, and they're sending these gift boxes to the family 1 year to the day after the loss they experienced. Wow. Love me some people like that. So stay tuned. Angel Brown's coming up right after the news break here, right here in studio. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.